Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a question for you today to begin with. Have you ever, or can you define your defining moment in your life? It would have been a time kind of like when all the stars are aligned perfectly, when something was said or something happened that changed the direction of your life forever. It might have been a decision you made or a decision that was made for you. It might have marked a new direction or even a complete reversal of what you were doing. Now, Jesus was the son of a carpenter, and that certainly would have not been a defining moment. But I suspect we're about to see the defining moment in the life of Christ, possibly. Now, that raises a question about this story that the vicar told the kids. It's a story of Jesus, 12 years old, going to Jerusalem for the very first time as he got older, his first time. And what is so important about that story? Now, here's the thing about that story. You can only find it in one place in the Bible. Just in one place. So it's not a common story. It's not a story that's dwelt on. It's just simply a brief story of a 12-year-old child. Now, Luke does give us a clue about this possible defining moment. This is the only story of Jesus' childhood in the Bible. There's no stories of his teenage years. There's no stories of miracles in Nazareth. And I know that there's a lot of news books out, they aren't new books, like St. Thomas and things like that, with various miracles that the child Jesus performed, and none of those are true. This is the only story. So let's look at this story a little bit. This, as I said, was his first visit as a teenager to Jerusalem. It was his very first Passover. And the reason this is significant is Jesus is 12, and when he turns 13, he goes through the ordination of the bar mitzvah, which makes him a man. So from 12 to 13, he goes from child to man. So that's one thing to consider about the importance of this little story. Now, I want you, if you can, imagine with me this scene. This is an educational experience for Jesus. He goes with his dad. They go to buy a lamb. They buy the lamb. He's with his dad. They get the lamb. They take it to the priest. The priest takes the little struggling lamb and kills it, and then spreads the lamb's blood all over the face of the altar. How did that reflect upon the brain of that little 12-year-old boy? What did Jesus see? Is it possible that this was a premonition of the future. Innocent blood spread on an altar as a total sacrifice. Was Jesus witnessing possibly his own sacrifice? Was he the Lamb of the future? Was this his defining moment, perhaps? And now as you move on to the verse 44, we see a problem. We see a big problem. Mary and Joseph cannot find their child. Okay, they had one job. The Holy Spirit, Gabriel the angel, gave Mary one job, take care of God's son, and she lost him. Now, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to retrace our steps. We're going to go all the way back to Jerusalem, and we're going to search. She searches 3 days for her little boy. I don't know if you all have ever gone through the losing. Have you ever lost one of your kids? Okay, I see nodding going on. Yeah, we've all done that. Well, me too. I lost one of our, we lost one of our kids at Famous and Bar in St. Louis one time. I think it's called Macy's now. And I'm not going to name which kid it was. But her initial was Lindsay. I do that because she's not here. We lost her because she was hiding in the coat rack. It seemed like 4 hours, but it must have been like 3 minutes. But we couldn't find her. And we were scared, and we got upset, and our heart was racing, and our stomach sunk. And she was hiding in the coat, in the little coat turnstile in the center, and she thought that was funny. Her mother didn't think it was funny. It turned into a lecture right after we got done being happy and hugging her and being happy we found her. Then she got her lecture. And that's what I kind of like, and I hope you enjoy about our scripture out of Luke. Jesus' mom jumps right out of this scripture, right at us, and you can see her for what she really is. Son, why have you treated us like this? Behold, your father and I have been searching, and we are in great distress. Well, that word distress in Greek means a lot of things, a lot worse than what you think it means. She was besides herself. She was in anguish. She was in torment. She was in pain, sorrow. She was consumed by grief. And you can almost hear her yell in that temple, "You may be the Son of God, but you're still my little boy. How could you do this to us?" Well, and Jesus looks at her, and these are the first words ever recorded in the Bible. Very first words of Jesus. "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, what you see there is a transition that occurs. He talks about his father. He wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about his father in heaven. First time. First recognition by Christ of his father. Could that have been the defining role? Jesus wasn't rebellious, but this was a revelation. This is Jesus stepping into his divine identity. And here's the point for everyone today. What's the point of this message? Here it is. If you don't understand today, as you sit here, that Jesus is God's Son, you do not understand Jesus at all. Today we have a lot of families that struggle, and I don't. There's probably something to be said for this about what Mary and Joseph went through. Maybe it's the "Where is the Jesus" syndrome. But don't we all suffer from losing Jesus? It's pretty easy to find him here. It's pretty easy to see Jesus in the presence of the children. But when you're home, where is Jesus? Honey, have you seen Jesus? Well, wasn't he with you? No, he's got to be in this house somewhere, does he? Do you see him at the dinner table, perhaps when you pray? Is he there? Where is he? Where is Jesus today? He's here in church, but is he also with you as you go out those doors? What I'm asking you to think about is, I don't want you to be like Mary and Joseph and go, where is Jesus? I want you to look for Jesus and hold him near and dear every moment of your life. Jesus wasn't lost. He was exactly where he needed to be. He was about his Father's business. And in time, that business would take him way beyond that temple where he was talking with the teachers. The boy found among the teachers would become the lamb eventually that would be nailed by us to the cross. The child obedient to his parents would eventually end up being obedient to death. The son who spoke of his father's house, he would be the one that would open heaven's doors for every one of us in this church today. As the year comes to a close, and we all sat around and did this with kids, and the semester, previous semester in school's over, and I always have to ask, how are your grades? How are you doing? How are your studies? You know, typical grandpa questions. But maybe what I should have asked is not how your grades are, but what have we gained in wisdom? And I would ask you today, what have we gained last year in our wisdom of Christ? Not knowledge. The question would be, how many people did you share Jesus with last year? You can think it through. How many did you invite to come to church with you? How many did you pray for? How many people did you speak to about Jesus? And if that answer, and as you sit there, if that answer is not what you hope that it would be, then I got another question. What are you going to change this year from last year that will improve on your answer? As I said, the good news, even when we lose sight of Jesus, that does not mean Jesus has lost sight of you. He knows exactly where you are. He always knows where you are. And here, I got great news. You can always find Jesus. He is here. He is in that baptismal font. He will be at his Lord's table. He is here. You see, Jesus is always about his Father's business. And that business he is about, remember, is about your salvation. That's his business. In his holy name we pray. Amen.